Mass. The introit is composed of words from the 104th Psalm, wherein Israel gives praise to the Lord for that he brought his people out of their exile. By this people we must understand our neophytes, who were exiled from heaven because of original sin and of those they themselves had committed. Baptism has restored them to all the rights they had forfeited, for it has made them members of the Church. Introit. The Lord hath led forth his people in gladness, Alleluia, and his chosen ones in joy, Alleluia, Alleluia. Praise the Lord and call upon his name, publish his works among the Gentiles. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Paschal week is about to close. The Church, therefore, now asks our Lord to grant to us, her children, that the joy we have experienced during this happy octave may lead us to the still greater joy of the eternal Pasch. Collect. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who with reverence have celebrated this Paschal solemnity may happily arrive at everlasting joys. To this is added one of the collects given in Wednesday's Mass. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Peter the Apostle, 1, Chapter 2. Dearly beloved, laying away all malice, and all guile, and dissimulations, and envies, and all detractions, as newborn babes, desire the rational milk without guile, that thereby you may grow unto salvation. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is sweet, unto whom coming, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen and made honorable by God. Be you also as living stones built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is said in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that shall believe in him shall not be confounded. To you, therefore, that believe, honor, but to them that believe not, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of scandal, to them who stumble at the word, neither do believe, whereunto also they are set. But you are a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people, that you may declare his virtues, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The neophytes could not have received any more appropriate instruction than this, which the Prince of the Apostles addresses to us all. St. Peter wrote this first epistle to the newly baptized of those days. He affectionately calls them newborn babes. He urges them to that virtue which so becomes the age of infancy, the virtue of simplicity. He tells them that the doctrine they have been taught will be to them a milk, which will feed and strengthen them. He invites them to taste how sweet is the Lord they have now vowed to serve. After this, he speaks of one of the leading characteristics of Christ, namely, his being the foundation and cornerstone of God's house. It is upon him that the faithful, who are the living stones of the spiritual edifice, must rest. He alone can give them solidity, and hence, when about to return to his Father, he chose and established upon earth another rock, a rock that should be ever visible, united with and based upon his own divine self, and partaking of his solidity. The apostle's humility forbids his developing the whole truth as related in the gospel. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18, which tells us of his glorious prerogative. But if we remember the words spoken by our Lord to St. Peter, we understand the whole doctrine implied in our epistle. The apostle is silent about his own dignity as the rock on which Jesus has built his church. But observe the glorious titles he gives to us, who have been made members of that church by baptism. You are, says he, a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. Oh yes, what a difference there is between one that is baptized and one that is not. Heaven is opened to the one and shut against the other. The one is a slave of the devil, and the other is a king in Christ Jesus, the eternal king, whose brother he is now become. The one cut off from God, the other offering him a sacrifice of infinite worth by the hands of the great high priest, Jesus. And all these gifts have been bestowed upon us by a purely gratuitous mercy. We had done nothing to merit them. Let us, then, offer to the Father, who has thus adopted us, our humble acts of thanksgiving. Let us go back in thought to the time when we ourselves were neophytes, and renew the promises which were made in our name as the essential condition of our being admitted to all these graces. From this day forward, the Church ceases to use during Paschal time the responsory called the Gradual. She substitutes in its stead two versicles with the Alleluia repeated four times. The formula is less solemn, but more joyous. During the first 6 days of the octave, which bear an analogy with the 6 days of creation, she would maintain the customary majestic gravity of her chants. Now that she has reached the day whereon the Creator rested after his work was finished, she gives free scope to the holy joy wherewith she is filled. Alleluia, Alleluia! This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. Alleluia! Praise the Lord, ye his servants, praise the name of the Lord. Sequence. Let Christians offer to the Paschal victim the sacrifice of praise. The Lamb hath redeemed the sheep. The innocent Jesus hath reconciled sinners to his Father. Death and life fought against each other, and wondrous was the duel. The King of Life was put to death, yet now he lives and reigns. Tell us, O Mary, what sawest thou on the way? I saw the sepulchre of the living Christ. I saw the glory of him that had risen. I saw the angels that were the witnesses. I saw the winding sheet and the cloth. Christ, my hope, hath risen. He shall go before you into Galilee. We know that Christ hath truly risen from the dead. Do thou, O Conqueror and King, have mercy upon us. Amen. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 20. At that time, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene cometh early, while it was yet dark, to the sepulchre. And she saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She ran, therefore, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went out, and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre. And they both ran together, and that other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And when he stooped down, he saw the linen cloths lying, but yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but apart, wrapped up into one place. Then that other disciple also went in, who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. This incident, which happened on the morning of our Lord's resurrection, has been reserved by the Church for today's liturgy, because it again brings St. Peter before our notice. This is the last day on which the neophytes assist at the Holy Sacrifice in their white garments. After this, there will be nothing to distinguish them exteriorly from the rest of the faithful. It is important, therefore, to give them a clear idea of the foundation of the Church, a foundation without which the Church could not exist, and upon which they must rest, if they would persevere in the faith wherein they have been baptized. They cannot obtain salvation unless they keep their faith inviolate. Now they alone have this firm and pure faith, who are docile to the teachings of Peter, and recognize him as the rock on which our Lord has built his Church. In the episode related in our Gospel, we are taught by an apostle what respect and deference are due to him whom Christ appointed to feed both lambs and sheep. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 15 and 17. That is, the whole flock. Peter and John run together to the sepulchre. John, the younger of the two, arrives there before Peter. He looks in, but does not enter. What means this humble reserve of the disciple who was so specially beloved of Jesus? For whom does he wait? He waits for him whom the Master has placed over all, and who is to act as their head. Peter at length comes to the sepulchre. He goes in. He examines the holy place, and then John also enters. It is John himself who writes this, and gives us the admirable instruction embodied in what he relates. Yes, it is for Peter to lead the way, and judge, and decide as master. It is the Christian's duty to follow him, to listen to his teachings, to honor and obey him. How can we have any difficulty in doing this, when we see an apostle, and such an apostle, behaving thus to Peter? And this, too, at a time when Peter had received the promise only of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which were not really given to him until some days after. The words of the offertory are taken from the 117th Psalm, which is, par excellence, the Psalm of the Resurrection. They hail the divine conqueror, who rises like a bright star, and gladdens us with his benediction. Offertory. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he hath shone upon us. Alleluia, alleluia. In the secret, the Church teaches us that the mysteries we celebrate during the year exercise a lasting influence upon us. Each feast, as it comes round to us, brings with it fresh life and joy, and it is by its annual celebration that the Church applies to her children the graces which each mystery brought with it at the actual time of its accomplishment. Secret. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that we may always gratefully solemnize the Paschal mysteries, and that the continual celebration of the sacrament of our redemption may be to us a subject of perpetual joy. To this is added one of the secrets given in Wednesday's Mass. Our neophytes are to lay aside today their white robes, but there is a garment which they are never to put away. It is Christ himself, who became united with them by baptism, as the Apostle of the Gentiles here reminds them. communion. All you that have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Alleluia. The Church returns once more in her post-communion to the subject of faith. Without faith, there is no Christianity. Now it is the Eucharist which has the power of fostering it in the soul, for the Eucharist is the mystery of faith. Post-communion. Being strengthened, O Lord, by the sacrament of our redemption, grant that through this help to eternal salvation, a true faith may always be increased in us. To this is added one of the post-communions given in Wednesday's Mass.